Well, welcome everyone, particularly those of you who are visiting with us. And so glad you're able to be here, and God bless you. I appreciate Bob and Caroline filling in for me last week. Probably the best presentation I've ever heard regarding how to listen to the Holy Spirit. And if you missed that, you can pick it up on our website and listen to that. It was just phenomenal. And I appreciate, they're not here this morning, but I just want to let them know, and you as well, that what a splendid job they did. And it's, when I'm out of town, I intended to be out of town last week, but I got in early, and so anyway, I was able to make it for the service on Sunday morning, and they did a fantastic job. How are y'all doing? Okay. Let's have prayer. Would you stand? And some of you may not be able to, and you just can stay seated. Grab hands with the people beside you, around you. And if you don't know their names, ask them their names and pray for them that they will be able to receive what God has for them this morning. Pray for yourself that you will be able to receive it as well. Lord, we're a needy people. Lord, we need you. We need you to speak to our hearts. We need you to break barriers in our life. We need you to minister wholeness and healing and Christ in us. Lord, we're nothing without you. Lord, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so, Lord, we come before you this morning, and Lord, there's, I don't know if it's my own heart or if it's the heart of some people in the congregation, but Lord, I feel like there's some sorrow here this morning. And so, Lord, we just bring this before you today. God, you know our particular needs, and Lord, you can work in every situation because you are a great and awesome God. Lord, sometimes we sing these songs, "How Great You Are," because you've done so much, so many wonderful things for us, and sometimes we have to do it by faith because we need you to work in a specific area in our lives. And so, Lord, today we're coming before you. We're laying ourselves at your feet. You know us better than we know ourselves. And so, Lord, we depend upon you for everything. And we give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're preaching through the book of Hebrews, and we're in Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to be focusing on verses 24 and 25 this morning. So go ahead and turn your Bibles there, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. But there's a few things I'll say before I get there. One of the things, today's title of this message is Running to Win. Running to Win. To win. Paul primarily speaks of us being in a race. The Christian life is like a race. And when we get to a place in our life where we receive Christ as our Savior, it's like we're just beginning a race, a Christian race, and we're becoming, the goal is to become more like Christ. That's the goal. You and I are in a race. We're going to stop a minute. I don't have the freedom that I normally have. And I don't understand why not. I'm going to ask John, would you pray for me this morning? Paul, would you pray for me as well? All right, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, guys. So in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, he says, "And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I'm not a runner. Some of you may be runners. I'm not a runner. But I do know something about getting ready for competition. And part of that is you have to do some training, right? You have to do some training. Paul likens a lot of, it's almost like he's picturing Paul a marathon when he's talking about running this race. And so in the marathon, you have to train your muscles. You have to build muscles in order to endure the track that's before you. It's the same thing in our Christian life. There are some spiritual muscles that have to be built. Because when you come to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, Scripture says that you're just like an infant. You're like a child. And so if you're going to grow up in your relationship with Christ, there's some endurance, there's some muscles, there's some training that has to take place. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, "Don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize, so run to win." So here's the deal. We're in it to win it. Amen? We're in it to win it. We're not going to just participate in a race just to say, "Well, I ran the race." No, we're in it to win it. The goal, again, is to become like Christ, become mature as He is, and we have to keep our goal and our faith and our eyes upon Him. And the third thing we need to understand is that we can't do it alone. We need each other to accomplish this goal. So this takes us to our focal passage in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let us think of ways, and I've got 22 and 23 up here. We'll get to those in a minute. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. Every one of us need Christian brothers and sisters to help us in our race. Every one of us. I need you to help me in my race. Did you know that we're all in different places in our spiritual maturity? There are some of you in here who are mature in your faith. You are mature men and women of God, sons and daughters of the Lord, and you have a great understanding in God's Word. You have fought battles and have overcome. You have faced difficulties and won. You have wisdom because of understanding and being in God's Word. You have a depth of maturity because you have walked through some things in life. Okay? Others of you, however, may be young in the faith. You haven't been walking with the Lord very long. You've been wounded and insecure. You may be broken and bruised and need healing and encouragement. And if that's you, I want you to know you're in the right place. Okay? You're in the right place because we have brothers and sisters in Christ who can minister to you. You may be learning to trust. But this is a new concept for you because the people you should have, that should have raised you and given you a idea of what love and concern and care is, wasn't there. And so your trust has been broken. And so learning to trust people is a very difficult thing. And even learning to trust the Lord, if you come from that background, even learning to trust the Lord is a difficult thing. Because no one ever helped you understand that or receive that. Some of you may be here today and you've never entered the race. You've never received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. But you're here because you feel like somebody, something is drawing you. And so you keep coming back and you keep coming back. And what you're wanting is what God wants. You're wanting a relationship with Him, and God wants a relationship with you. So one of the things we find in this passage of Scripture that we just read in verses 24 and 25 is that we have a responsibility to each other. Okay? We have a responsibility to each other. We have a responsibility to encourage one another as we run the race. I listened to a pastor speak one time, and he said that he entered his little son, about a five-year-old boy, in a race, and there were thousands of people on the side of the street, and they were encouraging him and hollering, and of course all the runners were going, and rather than him running, he would go over and give everybody high fives, just enjoying their encouragement. Sometimes we just need to be encouraged in our walk, don't we? Sometimes we need to be encouraged in our race. We're going to look at a video, and I don't know if you've ever heard of Derek Redmond or not. He was running in the Olympics in 1992. And anyway, if you will go ahead and pull that up, Briar, I would appreciate that.
Stormy seas.
Pretty neat, huh? You know, the dad represents the church. And the young man represents many of us who hurt. And it's the church who comes around us and helps us. You know, we pray, God, will you help me? Will you help me? Will you help me? And you know what? God sends people to help you. Oftentimes, it's not like God just shows up and does His thing. It's God shows up through people. His dad, others, came on the track and told Derek, just quit running, just quit running, just quit running. And Derek said, no, I'm going to finish the race. I'm going to finish the race. Then when the security tried to keep the dad away, the dad said, I'm going to go help my son. You know, when we see people hurting, we need to do whatever we can to help them. That's one of your brothers. That's one of your sisters in Christ. There's a fellow in the book of Acts. His name is Joseph. He received a nickname, and the nickname he received from the church, the church gave him a nickname, and the nickname he received was Barnabas. And Barnabas, the word means son of encouragement. And so Barnabas received that name because he was always, always encouraging someone. Do you remember a guy named Paul? He was a mighty man of God, but he had not always been Paul. He had been Saul before he became Paul. And Saul was a nasty guy. As a matter of fact, if you know the story, Saul would oftentimes go and try to take Christians prisoner, take them back to Jerusalem where they could torment them or even torture them and kill them. He was standing at the side whenever Stephen was stoned. That's Saul. Well, one day Saul had a conversion experience. He met the Lord. And God changed his heart, but all of the Christians were afraid of him. Do you know who came beside Saul? Barnabas. Barnabas is the one who came beside Saul, and he said, come with me, and he took Saul to meet the apostles, and of course all the apostles were afraid of him. But Barnabas took him under his wing, and he coached him, he taught him, and eventually Paul became such a mature Christian under Barnabas's mentorship that they were sent out on a mission endeavor. As they were on this mission endeavor, they picked up this young man named John Mark. And they went on this missionary journey. It was called Paul's first missionary journey. He had four missionary journeys, but this was the first one, and he took John Mark, he and Barnabas. Barnabas and Paul took John Mark with them. And they got to a place called Derbe. And John Mark decided he didn't want to go any further. So if you see number 7 there, Derbe. And so this is in the area of Pamphylia. And so for some reason, John Mark decided he didn't want to go any further with the mission endeavor. And so he went back home. Barnabas and Paul finished their missionary journey and later on decided, hey, I want us to go on another missionary journey. And they took off. And Barnabas said, hey, before we go, I'd like to take John Mark with me again. And Paul said, nothing doing. I'm not taking him. When we were in Pamphylia, we could have used his help, and he just took off, and I'm not going to have him going with us again because he's just going to take off again. And Barnabas said, well, I'm not going to go without him. And so there was a dissension between Paul and Barnabas. Paul took up another guy named Silas, and they went to missionary journey. Barnabas went and got John Mark, got him under his wing. See, Barnabas saw potential in John Mark that Paul didn't see. Barnabas was more mature in his faith than Paul was. And he could see things in John Mark that others didn't see. And Barnabas knew in his heart that if I can take John Mark under my wing, I can coach him, I can help him. He's the guy that wrote the Gospel of Mark. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Barnabas saw that. No wonder he was called the son of encouragement. Don't we need some of Barnabas's in our lives? When we get down, when we get discouraged, when we want to quit, we need somebody to pick us up. We need to have somebody to help us when we stumble, when we fall, like Derek. We need somebody to come along beside us, not to criticize us, not cast us aside, not gossip about us, but we need somebody to come along beside us and help us, to pick us up, to show us the way, to help us till we can help ourselves. And that's what Barnabas did. He was always encouraging other people. One of the first things we see about Barnabas is that there were some people in need in the church, and he sold everything he had and gave it to help people in need. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Lord, help us to become like Barnabas. Lord, help us to become like Barnabas. We're told in this passage of Scripture that we read that we need to help one another. But here's a problem. There's a couple of problems. One problem is a lot of times we don't want anybody to help us because we don't want them to know we got problems. Okay? We have an independent spirit. That's part of the Northwest. I can do it myself. I can do it myself. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to rub elbows with anybody else. I can do it myself. And you know what? In some things, that's a really good way to be. But when it comes to the Christian life, that's not a very good mentality. We become self-sufficient. God doesn't want us to be self-sufficient. He wants us to be dependent upon Him. He wants to be dependent upon others. Sometimes the Lord allows you to go through stuff so others can help you. I was trying to work. I'm a woodworker. And do you know sometimes it's hard to cut a board by yourself? It's hard to nail up a board by yourself. I told my brother one time in Mississippi, I said, "Dean, sometimes I wish I had three hands so I could take care of this stuff." He said, "Well, maybe the Lord wants you to help, ask for help." He could have gone all day without sleep. But we're self-sufficient. And we don't want anybody to help us, but that's what the church is here for. And I want you to know, if you're struggling, if you're having problems, if we can at least do something. We can at least pray. In verse 22, that passage of Scripture in Hebrews, it says, "Let us all come before God." If you're going through a struggle, if you're going through a problem, somebody needs to come along beside you and at least pray with you. You may not have any other resources, but God has the resources, and we can pray. I want you to look at this video from Coffee Brothers that I saw. It's gone viral.
Coffee turned into a touching moment that was caught on camera.
Yeah, let's look now at what's trending. A woman was in line at the Dutch Brothers coffee shop in Oregon, and she was very, very upset, and she explained to the cashier how her husband had just passed away. Well, without hesitation, the crew then stopped and prayed with the woman.
We love people, and anytime you see someone, you know, sad or mournful, it takes you 5 minutes to make their week, make their month, you know, make their life. So it's a small price to pay.
Wow, very, very touching right mm-hmm. there. Someone waiting in line has snapped the picture and posted it online, and it's been linked now and shared thousands of times.
Oh, it takes just a moment to show humankind.
He's climbing down.
Isn't that cool? He's teenage kids, somebody that saw need help. So just reach out and pray for them. That's pretty easy, isn't it? If you see somebody in the grocery store, if you see somebody, whatever, at least pray for them. That's one way you can help. Another way you can help is you can give hope to them. Do you know that there's a lot of Christians who've kind of lost hope? Have you ever lost hope in your Christian life? I see people, Christians, and I'm going to say weekly, at least two or three times a month, who've lost hope. So what do you do when you find people who've lost hope? Is it possible for a Christian to lose hope? Yeah, it is. They get hopeless, they get down. One of the things that I found is that if people, when I'm in a bad place, if people begin to remind me of the grace of God and remind me of the promises of God and remind me of the things that God has done in the past, it picks me up. It helps me. And so, I'm thinking of one guy who came to my office and he said, I've been serving the Lord, I'm a Christian, and this thing is going on in my life, and it's a very difficult thing. He said, I remember early in my life, I lost my home. Later on, I lost my job. Maybe the job came first, and then his home. I can't remember. And just things, it doesn't seem like serving the Lord is the best thing. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, when you lost your job, did you get a better job? He said, yeah. I said, when you lost your home, did you get a better home? He said, yeah. So here's what I found out. A Christian can't fall down, they always fall up. Okay? A Christian can't fall down, they just fall up. So if you continue to, even when bad times come, and you continue to praise the Lord, and you continue to thank the Lord, and you continue to serve the Lord, you may fall down, but you're not going to utterly fall, because the Lord will raise you up. And you learn from those things that you've gone through so that you can help others when they find themselves in those difficult situations. Have you ever been in a difficult situation? How many have been brought out of that difficult situation? I see you. So could you use that and help somebody else that you have seen that's going through the same difficulty? That's what you're supposed to do. Learn from what God is taking you through so that you can help others get through them. You can be a Barnabas. You can be a Barnabas. Help others in their time of need. Another thing you can do, and this passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter... first let me go to Romans chapter 15:13. Powerful verse. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know how to get your hope back? Start believing. Do you know how to get the peace and joy back? Start believing. You may not see it physically, but when you start believing God's Word, you start believing His promises, and you know that God's going to come through regardless of what the situation is, you can get your hope back. You can get your joy back. You can get your peace back. So oftentimes when I'm meeting with people who have lost their hope, we just start looking at this passage of Scripture and help them start believing again. The reason you lose your hope is because you quit believing. Okay? And I know situations, difficulties come your way. On Sunday nights, I'm teaching how to walk in the Spirit. And I want to encourage you. Part of the furtherance of the teaching that I would like to do this morning, it will be done next Sunday night. Tonight, we're going to be dealing with how to listen to the Holy Spirit. But God has graced you with marvelous things. And he says, if you just believe, you can have joy, you can have hope, and you can have peace. So, another thing we need to do, in according to that passage of Scripture in Hebrews, is find ways to motivate each other to love and good works. Find ways to motivate each other to love and good works. Let me get to, what I've discovered is that when I get down, one of the things that helps me is to find somebody else that I can plug into. Find somebody else that I can help. Find, what happens is it gets my mind off of my troubles, and then I'm able to invest in somebody else's life, and God blesses me as I bless them. And so, if you're down, if you're discouraged, find someone you can invest in. Okay? And see how God blesses you as you do that. We can't do it alone. None of us can do it alone. Every one of us face time in our life when we need an encouraging word from a brother or sister. There are times in our lives when we don't know whether we can go on or not. We need Christians who are more mature than we are to speak into our lives. That's why it's so important to be in church. I want to ask you a question. Firstly, I guess I need to make a statement. First is, you need someone that is more mature than you that you allow them to speak into your life. Okay? And the second thing is, you need somebody that you can speak into their life. You need somebody over you to help you, and you need to be in a place where you can help others. So now I want to ask you a question. Who do you have in your life that can speak, that you allow to speak into your life and to help you in this growth thing? Because you can't do it alone. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can't run this race alone. I need you. I need you. You can't do it alone. It's impossible. You can't run this race by yourself. God didn't design it that way. You need the whole team to come along beside you. So I'm going to ask you again, who do you have in your sphere of influence that's able to speak into your life and you receive it? If you don't have someone, you need to find someone. The second thing is, who are you bringing? Who are you a Barnabas to? Who are you encouraging? Who are you influencing for Christ? Find ways to motivate them in love and good works. Get outside yourself and bless someone else. The last thing is, we need to start meeting together. Continue to meet together as a body of believers. How many of you know that we're in a difficult season in our country? How many of you know that we're in a difficult season in our world? This scripture says, as you see the end drawing near, you better hang on to one another even more tightly. Did you know this? Going to get worse? I don't mean to be a naysayer or not, you know, speaking negatively or whatever. But Scripture says it's going to get worse, so I just have to agree with what Scripture says. So when it gets worse, if you're not able to make it now, buddy, you better have the body of Christ to hold on to and to speak into your life and to help you in your Christian maturity. So when difficult days come, who do you have? Who do you have? Is there someone that you can call? Is there someone that's going to help you and be a Barnabas in your life? And if someone were to call you, are you going to sit with them and say how bad everything is and just agree with them? Or are you going to be a Barnabas in their life? So this morning, I want you to make some decisions. Will you, as a believer, will you be willing to encourage those who you see are struggling, either through prayer, either through the Word of God, however God moves upon your heart? Are you willing to do that? Okay? You need to have in your mind who, when you struggle, when you stumble, when you fall, who is it that you're going to turn to? Who are you going to call when that happens? And also, if you're here without Christ today, would you join the race? Would you say, yep, I want to be on God's team? You can put it off, you can put it off, you can put it off, but you'll never excel until you get on God's team and allow the others of us to help you to grow in your relationship with Christ, help you to grow in maturity in Christ. The goal is to become more like Christ. That's the goal. Our goal is to keep our eyes and our focus on the Lord, and our goal is to mature like Him, and you can't do it on your own. You can't do it. So this morning we're going to have an invitation. You have in your bulletin, as I said before, a communication card. And some of the questions here, I feel I am mature enough in my Christian walk that I can encourage.